All right, now to read Exodus chapter 25, starting at verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from everyone whose heart prompts them to give. These are the offerings you are to receive from them: gold, silver and bronze, blue, purple and scarlet yarn and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red and another type of durable leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastpiece. Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you. Have them make an ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide, and 1.5 cubits high. Overlay it with pure gold, both inside and out, and make a gold moulding around it. Cast 4 gold rings for it and fasten them to its 4 feet, with 2 rings on one side and 2 rings on the other. Then make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Insert the poles into the rings on the side of the ark to carry it. The poles are to remain in the rings of this ark. They are not to be removed. Then put in the ark the tablets of the covenant law, which I will give you. Make an atonement cover of pure gold, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide. And make 2 cherubim out of hammered gold at the ends of the cover. Make 1 cherub on one end and the 2nd cherub on the other. Make the cherubim of 1 piece with the cover at the 2 ends. The cherubim are to have their wings spread upward, overshadowing the cover with them. The cherubim are to face each other, looking toward the cover. Place the cover on top of the ark and put in the ark the tablets of the covenant law that I will give you. There above the cover, between the 2 cherubim that are over the ark of the covenant law, I will meet with you and give you all my commands for the Israelites." And now turning to Hebrews chapter 9, which is page 842. And starting at verse 6 to 10. When everything had been arranged like this, the priests entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry. But only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed as long as the first tabernacle was still functioning. This is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshipper. They are only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial washings, external regulations applying until the time of the new order.
Good morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, we pray that you will humble us and you will teach us, encourage us, strengthen us, rebuke us, and change us so we can live with Jesus as our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. Having a flatmate is not my thing. I never had to live with someone who is not from my family. I never was in a boarding school or a residential college. Except for 6 months after I just finished uni, I shared a house with a guy from church. And there's nothing extraordinary about that experience. I learned very little about anything or anyone, acquired no new skills, and discovered nothing new about myself. Maybe things were a bit different for you when you moved in with someone not from your family, but in today's passage, we see God is ready to take his relationship with his people to the next level. He's going to move in with them. Verse 8 of chapter 25 says, "And I will dwell among them." This is something that has never happened before. God living with people, his people. So let's do a very quick recap. To fulfill the promise that God has made 100 years ago to Abraham, he has a plan to save his people out of Egypt. So he chose Moses, protected him as a baby, had him going around in the wilderness, sent 10 plagues to Egypt, parted the Red Sea, drowned the Egyptian army, and Israel left Egypt with gold, silver, and many good things. And then God fed them with the bread from heaven. And God had dealt with their whinging a few times, gave them 10 commandments, and a few other rules in chapter 21 to 24. And now we come to chapter 25. It's about time to reach the happily ever after. You know, fireworks and, you know, banquet feast in the promised land with, you know, milk and honey. So, Exodus 25 is a happily ever after, but not the ones we usually get. Even though Israelites have not reached their destination, the promised land, but it seems that God has, because he's ready to settle down and live with his people. And God is definitely ready for this happily ever after. So while on the top of the mountain, he gave Moses a list of things that are needed, how these things are to be made, who are supposed to make them, and where these things are supposed to be placed and arranged, so that people are ready for God to live with them. And I know many people who set out to read the Bible from cover to cover stopped here, right? Or started speed reading or skipping. And I don't blame them, because this is not a very exciting part of the Bible. It read like the paragraph versions of those IKEA furniture assembly instructions, right? Maybe it's easier someone just put it into pictures. Maybe that would be easier for the people who had to make those stuff. But for us, maybe not so much. And there's a lot of things that they need to make, right? Like incense, lampstand, tent, ark, mercy seat, table, altar, priestly clothing, perfume, oil, claps. What is that? I don't know. And just, you know, a lot of things. And is there any theological significance in the material, in the dimensions, in the layout, in the process, numbers, timing, dates, colors, right? Orientations. What's going on here? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1. Now, the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. A tabernacle was set up. In its first room were the lampstand and the table with its consecrated bread. This was called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a room called the most holy place, which had a golden altar of incense and the gold-covered Ark of the Covenant. This Ark contained the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that has budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant. Above the Ark, the cherubim of the glory, overshadowing the atonement cover. But we cannot discuss these things in detail now. My favorite verse of the Bible this morning is the last bit of verse 5 there. We cannot discuss these things in detail now. And even if we did go into details, many experts end up saying, but the scriptural support for this assertion is lacking, or the meaning of this is uncertain, but. So there's a lot of things going on here. And I'm glad, you know, Hebrews 9 tells us not to go into details. So we will not go into details. But we still will look at the, you know, the few chapters, chapter 25 to 31, to see what patterns are there. What are some key features we can learn from? So we know that God's intention and purpose is clear, to dwell among my people. And all this work that is to be done is to prepare for God to live with his people. And verse 45 to verse 46 in chapter 29 says this: Then I will dwell among the Israelites and be their God. They will know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of Egypt, so that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. So God is telling his people, now you're out of Egypt, live like this, do these things, be different, be distinct from those people around you, and I will live with you. God is making his people holy, set aside, separated, right? God, so that God can live with them. For God to live with them, God's people need to be holy. Their holiness is their happily ever after. And holiness is a serious thing. For God to live with his people is serious business. And the living arrangement, the cohabitation agreement, so to speak, is to be on God's terms. God decides what it will look like when he lives with his people. Everything needs to be the way God wants it. And he makes it very clear what he wants. These are the verses, right? You make the tabernacle exactly like the pattern I will show you, right? You make the table and lampstands according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain. Set up the tabernacle according to the plan shown you on the mountain. Make the altar just as you were shown on the mountain. Everything needs to be how God wanted it. You cannot make things up. You can't decide how you approach God. God decides. You can't demand God to come to you. You do not set the rules or conditions. So God went through all these troubles, right, giving every little details to Moses. God doesn't mind the trouble. He just has a very long list of things. Why? Why does God do that? And I think it's because these people matter to God. He wants to make sure everything is right. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 says, For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasure possession. And that's why all these things need to be made holy. Certain people need to be made holy for certain holy tasks. They are God's treasured possession. And another reason that it has to be on God's term, has to be in this detail, is because of the problem of sin. Why does God go through so much trouble? Because sin is such a big problem. God is serious about his relationship with his people, and sin is a serious problem for God to deal with. Because normal people, if you see God, you will die. If you want to meet with God, you will die. If you try to go up the mountain to find God, you will die. Right? If God comes down to you, you will die. You can't change that. Last week we heard God is a consuming fire. There's no safe way to live with God unless God provided a way. And the first thing that God told Moses to make is the ark. And on top of the ark is the atonement cover, also known as the mercy seat. The ark was the place of atonement. The focal point, the purpose of this special tent, the tabernacle, is this: to deal with sin. To offer sacrifice so that God can live with his people. For God to live with his people, atonement has to be made. Something needs to be sacrificed in the place of those who want God to live with them. A substitute is needed. God does not, and he cannot live in, you know, in the building that's made by human hands, we know that. And God cannot live with sinful people either. But he provided a way. He made allowance, he made accommodation, right? After building these things and following God's instructions, no Israelites needed to go up the mountains anymore. Right? God lives here now. And the gifts they offer to God so that they will be acceptable to the Lord. So they can have a good relationship with God. The things they offer, God will accept. And then God makes detailed description of the things and the process that's needed so that God and God's people have to follow them. You can't just change these things. You can't. There's no artistic license, right, when it comes to the shapes and the colors. Right? There's no room to get creative with how sacrifice is offered. If you don't do what God says, the consequence is serious. You can't, and also you can't just use these special holy things, right, for common purposes either. What is set aside for the priest cannot be used on other people. In chapter 30, whoever makes incense like it to enjoy its fragrance must be cut off from their people. Whoever makes perfume like it and puts it on anyone other than a priest must be cut off from their people. Those who do any work on that day, he's talking about the Sabbath, must be cut off from their people. God is serious about living with his people. You can't just change things. You can't just, you know, there's no tabernacle scent for air freshener in your car, right? You can't do that. What's for God is for God, and you can't just use it for anything else. If anyone has any other idea about how God is to live with his people, they will be cut off. It's a serious matter. And it's not that God wants to be difficult. It is because of our sin. It's serious. It's not God's problem, right? It is our problem. God is actually the one who's trying to make things easier. He's the one who's trying to make things possible. And breaking God's instruction is breaking ties with God. When you break ties with God, you break ties with life, because life comes with God. Life depends on your connection and your relationship with God. Not the rituals you perform, right? Not law keeping, but keeping with God. So in the end, it is not law keeping or observing the Sabbath that gives life. God gives life. The law giver is also the life giver. Breaking the law is breaking up with God. Saying no to God's instruction is saying no for him to live with you, is to reject him to come. Ultimately, it's not about keeping the rules, because many people can keep the rules but still break ties with God. And then Sabbath and all the laws just become legalistic and empty. At this moment, right, the promised land is not that far away for the people. And they have not been told they're going to be wandering in the wilderness for 40 years yet. So they're thinking, okay, we're almost there, right? But, however, priesthood is not a short-term arrangement. This is to be a lasting ordinance among the Israelites for the generations to come. This is to be a lasting ordinance for Aaron and his descendants. The priesthood is theirs, that's Aaron and sons, by a lasting ordinance. This is to be a lasting ordinance for Aaron. And verse 16 of chapter 31 about the Sabbath, the Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. So this is how God's people are going to live for generations with priesthood as a very important element. They need to live a holy life where God lives among them. Today, God still fulfills his promise to Abraham, which involves not just the Israelites, not just the Jews, but also all the nations, right? He still wants to dwell with his people. He is still in the business of making people holy so he can live with them. The bad news is, all the things that the Israelites made, they were lost or destroyed during the Babylonian invasion. Some were remade, but then the Greek Empire came, and then the Romans. So we don't have these holy things that make people holy anymore. God provided a lasting way to relate, for us to relate to Him, but it didn't last. Hebrews chapter 9, when everything had been arranged like this, the priests entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry, but only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people had committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the most high place had not yet been disclosed as long as the first tabernacle was still functioning. This is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gift and sacrifice being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshipper. They are only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial washings, external regulations applying until the time of the new order. Well, the good news is the time of the new order is here. We do not need to perform those rituals. We do not need all those items here in St. Ives. And you don't need to do all that kind of stuff at home. We don't need any of that for God to live with us. But when Christ came as a high priest of the good things that are now already here, He went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands. That is to say, it's not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but He entered the most holy place once for all by His own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who were ceremonially unclean, sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more than with the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. Jesus has solved the problem of sin, once and for all. Eternal redemption. So the problem is, it's not that God cannot or doesn't want to live with you, right? The problem is, you're not good enough for God. I am not good enough for God. We all need to be cleansed, sanctified, made holy. I don't know, we might all think that we are very lovely to live with, you know, I'm kind, I'm smart, I'm generous, I'm good looking, right? But to be honest, maybe I'm not that kind, smart, or generous. Even if you are a nice person for God to live with, right? Even if you're a nice person for God to live with, but you're not, right? But just say if you are. The problem's still there. You don't think God... You don't want God to live with you, right? You're too good. God has too many rules, right? The problem is God, not you. God is the one with problems. He has all these regulations, you know, questionable, outdated morals, you know, twisted sense of justice, and that kind of stuff. Then, let me tell you this. God doesn't want to live with people who don't want to live with God. Let's get things clear here. The situation is not God saying, hey, you're a nice person. You know, you're wonderful and lovely. Let me come down and live with you. And you go, yeah, you're not too bad yourself either. Let's make this work. This is God seeing us, how sinful and helpless that we are, but still chooses us. Even when we're like, yeah, nah, God's like, yes. just like he saw the Israelites who were helpless and couldn't get out of Egypt, right? He sees us not able to deal with sin. But on the cross, Jesus, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. Brothers and sisters, yes, we are the people of God. But Scripture reminds us that we still sin. We need to confess our failures, knowing that the Lord Jesus died for us and intercedes for us with the Father. So let us draw near to God, who freely forgives through his infinite goodness and mercy, and pray to him with sincerity and confidence, with a prayer that's over there. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen.